Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you love riding a motorcycle, you want to ride it everywhere, even to a physical.
Let's check your weight. Hop on the scale. Look at that. You're down a few pounds.
Oh, yeah. Must be the new carbon fiber wheels.
And when you love saving money, you want to save even more. That's why GEICO makes it easy to bundle your motorcycle and car insurance.
I'm going to prescribe 91 octane for your engine knock, and we'll want to see you again in 3,000 miles.
Kickstart your savings with GEICO Motorcycle. Bundle and save on the things you love.
The Bob and Tom Show presents the Bits and Pieces Podcast. This podcast is Chick McGee approved.
Welcome to Bits and Pieces, the podcast that revisits our favorite Bob and Tom Show comedy bits. I'm here with Jason Hofstetz, Jess Hooker, Jessica Alsman. I'm Willie Griswold. And today, we're doubling up another Tim Wilson episode.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, it was so, yeah. It's obviously Tim is gone and we miss him a lot. But it was fun because it was supposed to be this sort of thing in memory, but we had so much fun that when I said we're doing another one, it was like, woohoo!
Yeah.
That's a weird vibe to have in a memorial episode, but that's...
A little bit, but I think it's, I don't know. I think it just speaks to how much everybody else loved Tim, whether they knew him personally or not.
We approach all these, it doesn't matter whether you're dead or alive, we're celebrating what you did and the bits and the funny and the stories.
Mm-hmm. And it gives the listeners an opportunity to kind of chime in with
stuff. Everybody was like, I got the chance to meet him once, or I didn't, or I wish I had, or I did meet him and he stood outside and talked to me for 20 minutes or whatever it was. I saw all kinds of responses on Twitter.
Before we started, I was talking to Oscar and I asked him if he ever worked with Tim.
Yeah.
And he said, no, man, I really didn't. I go, I think Tim would have really liked you.
Yeah, he would have.
I think he would have enjoyed, because Jeff's pretty genuine.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing fake there. And Tim could see through that stuff. And I think he would have liked Oscar a lot.
Yeah. Because even like we were just standing here talking to Oscar earlier, Oscar says funny things as a comedian, and they're like throwaway things to him. And Willie was like, hey man, have you said that on stage? Because that's worth repeating.
No, the thing that he just said in this room before we got started was so funny.
Yeah.
If he doesn't do it, can I say it?
Yeah, I think you can.
He said, I get those, Chips Ahoy 100 calorie snacks. And we go, yeah, I've seen those. Because you know, like the 100 calorie thing?
Yeah,
the little bags and the snacks are a little smaller or whatever.
And he goes, yeah. Even his setup, like he's holding it up like he's reading the back of the bag.
And
you know?
He just goes, yeah, I get those Chips Ahoy 100 calorie bags. And it's great because, you know, I eat 10 or 12 of them. I know exactly how many calories I eat. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you got to write that down. But also, another thing about Oscar, everybody I've ever worked with, I go, oh, they're great. You know, I'm just that kind of guy.
Yeah.
I like keep it in the business or whatever. I will be talking to Oscar. He's a big don't beat your heroes guy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, you work with that guy? I love that guy. He's like, dude's a dick.
Yes.
Made me pick him up.
He has a lot
of trade secrets.
Oh, yes. He does.
Yes, he does. Oh, he does. Yeah. And he is not afraid to tell you.
Yeah.
And so this is the second Tim Wilson.
Look at you, Daniel Tosh.
I didn't say anything. No, but this is the second Tim Wilson episode. It's not like any spoilers or anything, but if you haven't heard the first one, please go back and listen to that one. I just think that's the better order to do things.
Yeah, and Ron Sexton joined us, and he does a bunch of other things for the show, but he and Tim were,
they were tight. They were tight.
Yeah.
No dogs.
Yeah, and like we said before, obviously the Donnie Baker character is the most popular and known of all of the call-ins that Ron does, and Tim was very active in the evolution of Donnie Baker.
Absolutely.
Ron would call him his comedy dad.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
And I would even say hero in there too. Probably.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. There's a tip of the hat to
since Tim's been gone, we personally have seen Ron kind of become a little more like Tim Wilson. A
little bit. Yeah.
For better or for worse.
Yes. Yes. And we had the Bob and Tom golf outing after we recorded our podcast last week. And it was down at Victory Field, which is the minor league ballpark here in Indianapolis. And they did like a Top Golf type situation, and they put scaffolding in the stands and around the, and you could, and hit. It was very cool. It was an mm-hmm. awesome, it had just rained and there was a huge rainbow over the state. It was beautiful, right? So we're in there, and Jess was there to do some Donnie Baker stuff that you needed to get done. But she had the experience of meeting half of the Pork Pistols. Mm. And ooh, do they love to tell Pork Pistol stories to somebody who's never heard a Pork Pistol story.
I got a lot really fast.
You did. You did. And you were such a good listener. And they well, it's not they. It's Joe Emmert. I'm going to say
Joe is there. Okay. Right.
Joe is so, if you...
He wasn't outside laying of, tile?
Outside of Tim. No, he took a break.
Okay, okay.
So outside of Tim Wilson,
yeah,
the other biggest influence on the Donnie Baker character is Joe Emmert, because Joe Emmert is Donnie Baker. Like, you could probably tell,
a
right?
Little bit, yeah.
And so he's calmed down with age, if you can believe that, if you can imagine him like 10 years ago. I know. Actually, Donnie Baker is 16 years old. That character is 16 years old. Mm-hmm. And so the Joe Emmert, it's just like, I felt bad because I felt like I was like, I need to save Jess. Like, I need to save Alsman. I needed to help her. Like, this guy won't stop talking to her and all these stories. Just these crazy road stories. But it was fun.
Funny how you just quickly transitioned to another one, and I didn't realize it was even happening.
Yeah, because he doesn't let you get away.
Mm. And that
that's
was
the
okay.
thing, you're trapped.
But I'm like, well, I'm just going to take this all in. Maybe it's a one-time hit. I'm going to learn everything right now.
We're very well trained in that in this building, though.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you got there's
sometimes you get corn in a studio with mm-hmm. one door.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's sometimes
Jason
you
and
can't,
I,
yeah,
Jason,
we can't get out.
We were stuck in a room the other day with someone, and I could see Jason's just like, we have to go through the ceiling tile.
That's what we're getting out of here.
It's awkward because they're talking about me and I just wouldn't stop rambling about like, The Walking Dead and stuff. And that's great. Uh-huh.
And then they brought back Firefly, but nobody watched it.
Did you believe it? Oh my gosh. And there are these Easter eggs in the Adam Sandler movie, Hubie Halloween. It was so great.
No, there's a few, you got to get out of a conversation. Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Sure. Uh-huh. Sure. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
If you said sure more than 8 times, and the other person hasn't taken a hint, at that point, I think you're allowed to just go, hey, you know what? Let's wrap this up there, pal.
Do you know what my go-to is when I want to get out of a conversation? Because it's rude, mm-hmm. and it sounds so sarcastic, but it's my go-to is, you've got to be shitting me. Like, that is the most insincere thing a person can say.
Yeah.
But every time, it kind of just shuts it down.
Dude, if I were you, you blame the kids. My gosh.
Oh, I do blame them mm-hmm. so often.
You have such a good out to use constantly.
I do.
I don't have anything like that. I can't be like, oh, I got to go. My weed needs taken care of.
You can always say, oh, I got to go. And people are like, oh, that's Tom's kid. That's man. He's picking it up really quick. It's happening.
Well, I can do that. I definitely blame stuff on my little sisters, and my grandma lives in town now.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm such a good older brother. I'm such a good grandson.
You say
I'm
that
lying.
To us every
and
single week.
That's what I was just thinking
no, I'm
about.
Kidding. I don't do it.
I'm writing all these things down.
I use little sisters as an excuse. I would never use my grandma. Well, also, hanging out with my grandma rules, you guys. I can tell you more about it later.
Yeah, I think it needs its own podcast. That's what I think it is.
Here's the one thing I'll say about the grandma hangs. They're great because she can never go more than 2 hours. She needs a nap. I need a nap. It's perfect. It's a hangout with a time limit.
So you have the energy level of an 80-year-old, so we're clear.
Oh, my. We go to Target, and then we go to the Starbucks inside Target, and then I'm exhausted. I can't do anything after that. I've had to wait in 2 different lines. I'm out of here, Grams. Well, let's go back again. This is the Tim Wilson second episode, and let's, without any further introduction, here's Tim's take on relationships.
There's 8 of us in a Jim Walter home. They got Joe Janes and my chromosomes, but these youngins are about to drive me out of my skull. They lost their minds and you lost your looks. You think I've slept with the telephone book, but to tell you the truth, I'm only halfway through the queue. And if you try to save this marriage again, I kill you. Louder than an outboard, Evan Rude. You got us living on Little League food. You're cooking corn dogs for a 35-year-old man. And you've been laying around like I'm a nurse's aide. I ought to draw checks from Medicaid. You laid on the sofa till your butt turned black and blue. And if you try to save this marriage again, I kill you. Honey, call your lawyer, get him on the phone. Y'all can split everything that I own. Divorce is rough and there's hell to pay, but we don't own anything anyway. Since you turned me into the Internal Revenue, and if you try to save this marriage again, I kill you. Honey, call your lawyer, tell him everything. Man, that fat lady sure could sing. Take the darn house and I wish you luck. There's a hooter girl waiting in the pickup truck. She's a 38D and she just turned 22. And if you try to save this marriage again, I kill you.
And Tim Wilson, I don't know if you guys know this, I'll Kill You is actually spelled A-H-K-I-Y-E-U.
Yeah.
I kill you. That's a real, real good song.
That's a great song.
And that has the, I imagine that was Sweetened, as they like to say around here, where Tim probably played that in studio, and then we added the bass and the drum to it after.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And one
for
of the, I mean, we didn't do that many to Tim's songs, but that was definitely one of them. I always feel like, and some we hit some of these last time too, but there seems to be a little bit of Tim's fantasy girl in these.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He likes it. Yeah, we talk. I think I mentioned this the last time, but he's like, hey, if her butt's good at 20, it's going to be great at 40.
That is such like a weird folksy thing to say.
I know, but that's like there is something, and his and to be honest, you know, with all respect. His wife probably had the best butt I've ever seen in my life.
I'm glad you said with all due respect.
Yeah.
You can respect and appreciate someone's, like, like when someone works out, you're like, oh my gosh, what a great, you work out. Yeah. This is amazing, blah, blah, blah. So that's really nice.
Yeah, her whole body was banging. She was, good work, Tim.
There was a comedian.
Banging.
There was a comedian one time who said he was talking about how good looking a girl was, and he said she was so good looking it hurt my soul.
Yeah.
Knowing he could never be with or participate.
I get it.
But yeah.
Happened to me on Twitter or on, it happened to me on TikTok the other day. I was just scrolling and this bearded, beautiful man just popped up on my phone and I went, oh.
Wait, what was that noise?
It's just it was like this guttural, it kind of hurt and made me want to puke and like a little bit horny. And I was like, oh, here was it.
That was like probably the best. How do you put that in the dictionary?
Me and my buddy Colin, we were walking to the show this Saturday in Chicago. We passed two girls crossing the street, and then as soon as they were out of earshot, we both went, we made a noise like we just missed the bus.
Yeah.
Like we just knew that it wasn't possible for us to. Yeah. Oh.
It's like, you're so hot. Like you would, I would never even talk to somebody that hot, or they wouldn't talk to me. And I was just like, I just wonder what does your neck smell like? I
don't
want to know.
So just more on the same sex element of where this conversation started. There's an interview. Seth Rogen was on Conan, and they were talking about the movie Neighbors coming out, where he guest stars with Zac Efron. And then Conan was asking Seth Rogen about Zac Efron, and he's just like, "I mean, the kid's just cut. He has these abs. He has these abs, and then the abs that go down. His whole body is like an arrow that points to his." Probably gonna have to believe that one, but I think about that constantly.
There's an appreciation for sure.
Yes, and it's you know who else is built just like that? Joe Theismann. I was always like, he's built like an upside down triangle.
Do girls look at a girl and go, man, I'd like to see her breasts?
Oh, Megan Fox. I'm like, whatever, just show us everything at this point. Like, you don't eat a carb.
Yeah,
at all. How do you do that?
I'd look at naked girls all day. Naked guys, like that, you got to be real specific. But naked girls, they're.
And it's almost like, okay, just doing some comparison and what can I? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I just have mad respect for any woman who can take care of their body and cares even a little bit. So
just putting pants on can get hard for us. I know. Or at least me. I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah. When I have to lay down on my bed and put a coat hanger through the zipper just to pull it up.
Oh, I didn't mean like that. Why just like the will to get out of bed and get dressed? I wasn't meaning like,
so sad. Everybody's doing great. So let's go ahead.
No, I was like, back to the bit. I love getting off in the weeds.
Right, it's my favorite place
to be. But if, and this is more for the listener out there, but I promise you, I'm not alone. And when you hear this song, and this was mm-hmm. early days of the internet, but we still had Google.
Mm-hmm.
Who out there didn't like go, is there a real thing called Jim Walter Holmes? Because he mentioned it in another song or two.
Okay.
But I remember specifically, oh, I need to Google this.
Yeah, and it
is a Southern home builder.
It's like
our Pulte or whatever you want to call around here.
Right.
Real thing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
I know.
I love a local reference that makes it on the national spot.
Yeah, it's real funny.
Okay, well, yeah, we're going back on topic. And we got to topic. He was singing about a beautiful 22-year-old.
Yeah.
We got somewhere else. But here's something that Jess knows a lot about. It's what it's like to travel with Tim Wilson.
Frigamall Motors, a division of Bob and Tom Industries, brings you another innovation in satellite navigation technology. The new Aggravator satellite system.
Now getting close to Memphis. Better check the satellite to find my best route through here.
Son, you're not from these parts, are you?
What?
Tell you what, Mom, let me ask you to take 40 through Memphis. Now, you ain't going to see the prettiest parts of it that way, but we'll make better time. You ever been to Memphis? Hello? Elvis? Ring a bell, will you, son? Greatest singer that ever lived? You got the brains of a gnat? Don't turn here.
What?
Wait till you get to old man Burton's farm and hang a left there where you see the Sea Rock City sign on his barn.
The Aggravator. It's the only in-car satellite navigation system that uses Southern comedy musician Tim Wilson to get you where you're going. You'll also get useful information on finding great dining spots.
Man, I've been driving all night and I'm getting hungry. Good, there's a drive-through here that serves breakfast sandwiches.
Hold on there, son. Tell me we ain't actually pulling into this chain restaurant when Aunt Bertie's breakfast buffet is only 10 miles due east of here.
But I just want a quick sandwich.
Fine. Go have a lousy microwaved muffin. When all you're missing is the greatest biscuits and gravy smothering two eggs sunny side up you ever put your lips on. But hey, don't listen to me. I mean, I've only lived in the South my whole life.
Fine, we'll go to Aunt Bertie's. Just shut up.
Plus, when you install the Aggravator, you'll also get tons of interesting stories from Tim Wilson to keep you awake on those long, lonely trips.
So that is how Thomas J. Jackson came to be known as General Stonewall Jackson. Now, a lot of you liberal East Coast historians will try to claim that, hang on a minute there, son, you just drove past the exit from Muscle Shoals.
I'm on a schedule. We're not going to Muscle Shoals.
The hell we ain't. Damn, if I'll drive past the birthplace of the greatest R&B music ever committed to Ampex tape. Son, if you don't turn around in the next mile and a half, your South is going to rise again. Right off that seat when I kick it.
What?
And if that's not enough, the Aggravator also helps keep track of your gas mileage and car maintenance schedule.
Looks to me like we're getting low on gas. Danny Perkins filling station's about a mile off of Route 23 over there, and it's the last full-service Texaco for about 8 counties. They also got the best price on beef jerky. Did you know that beef jerky was invented by Mexicans?
The Aggravator is incredibly realistic. You'll swear Tim Wilson is sitting in the front seat right next to you.
Oh, what is that smell?
I don't take a bath but about twice, maybe three times a week. Up until about 1955, when soap commercials came on television and stations needed to make all that money from soap people, it was considered narcissistic if you were to take a bath every day. Soap commercials on television is what changed this country into a bunch of sissies running around smelling like damn flower gardens. Oh, son, turn the radio up. It's the Atlanta Rhythm Section. Now, Paul Goddard can play a damn bass.
The Aggravator from Frigamall Motors. Get yours today. But remember, at Frigamall Motors, we only accept cash or checks. Please, no credit cards.
Credit cards is what's wrong with this whole country. If you'll go back and check in the last 2-3 verses of the 13th chapter of Revelation, it'll tell you that you will not be able to buy or sell lest you receive the mark of the beast. I ain't gonna get into all that 666 stuff, but if you get anything put in your hand or your head, you're apt to end up in hell.
I think I'm in hell right now. Don't you think you're taking this a little too seriously?
Fine. Don't believe me.
I don't.
Good luck in hell, son.
Good luck in hell, son. A little bit of Tim Wilson, the Aggravator. That is such, that just real quick, that reminded me. I was in Louisville a couple months ago, and I was talking to this kid in the front row, and I was like, hey, what's your name? And he said, my name's Christian, but I'm atheist. Like, that was his fun little thing that he says to people.
That's funny.
And I just, I don't know why, but I just, on stage, I just go, Better wear your seatbelt on the way home. Better wear your seatbelts on the way home there, pal. Yeah. It was very funny. I don't know. I got a kick out of it.
Yeah.
I think Tim would have liked it too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That was a great representative of his personality.
There's Yeah, that is.
There was a lot in there.
You covered all of it. It really did. Every time we were in a car with Tim, I mean, he was going to teach us something,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, you never walked away mm-hmm. not knowing something you didn't know before. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was just how it was. But I know that it's always the exaggeration that is the stereotype that is
sure.
Tim. Tim wasn't always talking. You found that he talked more when he was around people that he thought were ignorant or rude,
okay.
to be honest. Okay. Like, you're talking too much and I would rather hear myself talk than hear you talk. So yeah, that's always what I took away. But like, honestly, when we would be in a green room, like chances are if everything was chill and we had a good group of comedians in there, he was just sitting in the corner, you mm-hmm. know, strumming away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The only time Tim and I ever got sideways,
mm-hmm.
Tim always wanted white towels. He sweat horrible mm-hmm. on stage. Mm-hmm. And he would always have white towels. And there was a show where I just completely spaced it. And then there was a second show the following weekend where I completely spaced it. Two weekends in a row. And he looked at me and he was like, Jesse, this is not going to happen again. And I was like, you're damn right. It was like, he didn't. Like, it was just like anything. Like, when any male that you respect in your family, like, is disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can be mad at me. You can hate me. You can be angry at me. But if you say that you're disappointed or if you give me a look like you're disappointed, game over. I'm destroyed. And he's obviously the last person I would ever want to disappoint. Yeah. But two weekends in a row, I just blew it. And that was the only time. But the
first time you forgot them, he didn't like flip out on you, right?
No. He called me out on stage.
Oh.
But there was that, which, you know, but the second time it was like.
So it was just the I'm disappointed. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Were you supposed to do laundry and bring them on the road?
No, they were in our rider. And so the theater didn't set them out, but I should have gone through the rider and known, like, hey, we need these. Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Tim Wilson wanted white towels. Our own Chick McGee, chicken on a stick. That was what's on his rider. He thought it was funny. I thought he was serious. He thought it was funny. He goes, I just wanted to see how many places would actually bring us chicken on a stick.
Would they do it?
Some of them. And other ones would just bring like chicken tenders or something else. But yeah. Yeah.
He could stick them himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff like that.
But. Did anybody else? Sorry, I know it's the Tim episode, but is there any other rider facts we have here? Did any other comics have a weird...
Nobody else really had anything weird, you know. Actually, Chick is the one with the longest. Now that I think about it, Diet Pepsi, popcorn, chicken on a stick.
Mm-hmm. I know, like, when I've worked with Greg Hahn, he needs a six pack.
He does.
But he just needs the one beer.
He
uses it as a prop and he gets like the makes the big mess.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I like working with him because he needs the one and then I get to drink the
and
five
then you
beers.
Get the rest.
Yeah,
yes.
Backstage when he's doing his act, I'm drinking the other four, you know, it's fun.
Yeah, so it worked out because between him and Donnie Baker being on a show, he would use the one. And then Ron would take the rest out on stage and make Hillbilly Jaeger Bombs, which is like Bud Light and Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, everything was usually pretty chill. It depended on the city that we were traveling to and if somebody had some strange in the city and I needed to arrange for them to be at the show.
You would have to call them?
No, I would.
Be like, hey, girl, hey.
There's a couple that
you
I had
this
to,
contest.
Yeah. Well, they knew what they were winning.
You're the ninth caller.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is that a lot of them, it is wild how diva-esque someone can be just because they gave a guy a blowy at the last show, you
okay,
know, like
right.
What the hell, sister? Like,
oh wow,
dial it down. Yeah, like it just like I don't know, but you know what? If it helped my boy get laid later on tonight, I'll kiss her ass now. You know, I don't care.
Yes, I also know a lot about hooking up on the road. I do it a lot. Yes, absolutely. I'm just constantly
talk to Jess.
Yes,
she'll hook you up for Willie.
I was. Yes. That was kind of a part of the gig was being a wingman.
Huh.
And there were a couple of times where, you know, somebody would see somebody walk in or there would be somebody at the merch table and I'd get the look like you need to tell her wherever we're going after this.
Hell yeah.
And so, Yeah.
I'm curious when you're driving, because like you might have left from here in a rental car.
Yeah, sometimes.
And Tim, did he drive a rental car very often?
No, he never drove a rental car. If we were doing a rental car, he would just drive to Indianapolis and ride with us wherever we were. Okay. So, yeah, like I said before, those times where you would find him asleep in the parking lot.
Yeah,
that was it. But yeah, he wouldn't mess with the rental car.
Kind of the pointing out the kind of like the bit, hey, there's this and that nearby, or let's go eat here.
He would get cranky if we didn't stop and eat when he wanted to eat, and if he had to pee. Like those were two like non-negotiables. When I say it the first time, we're doing it now. Like there's no, we're not putting it off.
Yeah.
It was like that. But you know, you travel with a bunch of middle-aged men, you're gonna stop to pee every 15 minutes.
I've gone to Chicago with Chick.
It's horrible.
And honestly, you've driven to Chicago hundreds of times, mm-hmm. Willie. Do you have to stop between here and Chicago?
I don't have to. I stop at a gas station. I talked about this. I got a ham sandwich from a gas station.
That you like, yeah.
And then I used to stop at this Taco Bell, but there's a Taco Bell that if you stop at it and then you get stuck behind a truck trying to turn left, you're there for 45 minutes.
Yeah,
it's not a joke.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, those are my usual spots. Or I get coffee. But I don't like to really stop on the road. Unless it's 7 hours, I'm just going to go.
I've gone to Chicago with Chick a couple times. It's usually at least a 2-stop trip.
At least.
Yeah.
That's a good trip if you only stop twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, this dude makes a game of it. Like, how much fluid can I take in, and how many times can I bring this trip to a halt?
See, it's all about when you get back in the car, don't touch liquid for at least an hour.
No,
right?
I agree.
Yeah, don't just start throwing them down already.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
But that's tricky also because the best snacks for road trips when you're driving is a drink, is like a Pepsi or whatever you want to have.
A soda,
Because you can't really, like, you can't dig through stuff, you can't eat, you don't want to have M&M's and then you spill and then you're ruining the car.
No, I
understand it. I get this is the, oh my god, this is just the struggles you go through as the person driving.
But that's always fun. We would stop at a truck stop and everybody would basically be a 15-minute stop, everybody's different directions. Ronnie and I love burnt peanuts, that was our go-to.
Boston, one of
our
baked beans,
that kind of stuff. Those things. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
It's like peanuts, but it's in a hard red candy shell, which I'm sure nobody should be consuming. Like it's plastic or something. Mm-hmm. But I loved it. Same way with circus peanuts. I love circus peanuts. I know it's disgusting, but it would always be funny because Tim would walk up with just like, it was never anything consistent, you know, just like a random, like off brand, like only local in that area, bag of chips and a candy bar. And it was just like a little kid. We were all just standing there with our snacks.
And did you ever see Tim with a credit card?
No.
I assume no,
oh, no,
right?
No, he didn't.
I mean,
He did not have a credit card.
That was real.
Yeah, he didn't have a credit card. So whatever I used for mine, I put down for his incidentals and just, So that's what we did.
Absolutely wild, man. Yeah. The legend. Okay, well, here is another Tim Wilson song.
So Martin, I ain't never played one of these. He tried to paddle to San Diego, and a wave took him out to sea, and he washed up on the beach at Waikiki. He's the only illegal Mexican in Honolulu. He's only been here 20 minutes and found him a roofing job to do. Yeah, they don't know if they're gonna run him off or if they're gonna let him stay, but it's looking good 'cause they're already calling him Don Jose.
Yeah,
about as far as
that. Nice jazz chords there. Wow.
That's so fun there at the end.
Yeah, it is.
I like how it feels. Sometimes, like we sweetened the other one, we added it, it seems a little more produced. Sometimes the underproduced stuff is more fun.
Yes, I think so.
Real. You're there with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It seems like he probably played that again the next time he came, and there was probably a new verse, and he probably took words out. Like, it was still a work in progress.
Sure.
And I like to hear the work in progress. There's fun in that.
I don't know why I love to hear when guys try to go high and they can't hit it. Like, when he's in the, or whatever.
Yeah.
I love it so much. Just that little thing, it just makes me giggle.
Yeah, that's fun. I keep thinking about, like, the different things that Tim would say when we were on the road or whatever. But it was more his cadence. It was more of his look. Like, I know Ronnie does his face when he's doing a Tim Wilson impression. And it's almost like the sun's in his eyes. He's starting, like, he's just starting to get a headache. And his cheeks are up. And he's just, like, looking at you. And it was like that. But that's also, like, how he would laugh. Like, that was the beginning of all of his looks. But other than that, he was just... He was just such a soft, kind guy, and it makes me wonder, like, I wonder how he would have aged, because he seems like he was that age from the time we met him until he passed. Like, he had just, like, kind of stopped there. Yeah.
Well, he was one of those guys, he's like my dad, where he grayed early.
Yes.
So when he was younger, he looked a little older.
Yes.
The same way. It's different, but Steve Martin in kind of the same way.
Yes.
When your hair goes gray younger.
Right.
Same thing with balding younger, you know?
Yeah. That's true.
Jesse, when you were doing that face, all I could think of, a lot of times when he ends a sentence, that last word, the way he says it, you know, and it was in the bit, aggravator, something, better time. And I you were making that face, and I could hear him saying it.
Yeah, yeah. He, I remember once, just talking about getting sideways too, there was a time where he had taken a dig at Chick on air once, and it was, you know, like, I'm not going to completely blame Tim, because Lord knows what mood Chick was in that day, but he just said something and it didn't sit well with Chick, and he got upset about it. Well, whatever had happened, they were either back here or they were on the road, and he said, Chick, we need to talk. And he sat down and they talked, and he was just like, look, we've got sideways and we need to talk this out and we need to be done. And Chick told him, he was like, this is what happened. And he was like, well, I'm sorry. I would never, you know, just da 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 da. But that's how he was. Nothing festered. We're going to nip it in the bud. He didn't talk crap about people. It was just like, if he was going to talk crap about you, he was going to talk crap to you about you know,
it's the exact opposite of what happens nowadays with folks on the internet.
100%
And mean comments, and everything's anonymous, and you're just saying it just to say it. He wanted to actually say things and have a conversation about it.
Oh gosh, that's one of the funniest stories. There was a time, now this is going to sound so old, but we were in a hotel in North Carolina, and this was a really nice hotel, and we ate dinner like at the, I mean, not really nice, but it was nice for where we were. And there was like a bar attached to it, and we were all kind of just up and awake, and we didn't want to go anywhere. And chances are it was a Friday and Saturday show in the same city. So we didn't have to go anywhere, it almost felt like a vacation sometimes. And so we all just were going to hang out in the lobby. I kid you not. Because he was like, I'll bring my computer down. And this was not a laptop. I think it was like a computer. Mm-hmm. Like, he plugged it in the lobby. Yes. And we were listening to, like, I don't think it was Napster. What was after Napster?
LimeWire.
LimeWire or something like that. And he was like, I could just play this music. And we were like, wow. It was just nuts. But in that, so the week leading up to that, a couple weeks before this, I don't know if you guys know this, but Tommy Jonigan was engaged when we first met him to, like, I don't know if it was his high school sweetheart, but it was a girl from his hometown, yada, yada, yada. He was on the road. They got engaged. Like, we knew when he got engaged. It was so sweet. And then she called off the engagement.
Hmm.
And we were like, oh, and he was bummed. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward a couple, she's engaged. She's engaged to someone else a couple weeks later.
Oh my gosh.
We're in the lobby.
God, I remember.
Tommy Jonigan had never drank before.
What?
He had never drank before this. And I was like, we're drinking. This is a reason to drink. Your fiance is engaged to someone else like less than a month later. And Tim was sitting over there just strumming on his guitar, sitting in this hotel lobby. And he was like, Tommy, if my calculations are right, she's been sleeping with this guy 2, maybe 3 years.
Oh, no. Oh. Also, what odd calculations are you doing in your head there,
Tim?
I don't know.
And then we were like, oh, man, he's probably right.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
That is, oh, no.
Yeah.
And did Tommy enjoy the bottle
drank.
That night?
Yes, he drank. I kind of feel responsible. It was all downhill after that. Yeah. So
you know, I've had things like that. When my high school girlfriend got engaged, it was the first time I was ever featuring.
Okay.
I was at Go Bananas in Cincinnati. I was opening for my pal Sean Donnelly, who's the greatest. I really love Sean. And I right before I got on stage. So like a couple days before, I saw that my ex had gotten engaged. I see the picture and I'm like, whatever, great for her. We haven't dated since high school. She literally is the best. There's no bad blood.
Right.
But I'm just like thinking like, oh, I'm so far behind. Like,
right.
I should be kind of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then right before I go on stage, she texts me and she goes, hey, I was just on a walk and I met a bulldog. I met a bulldog named Willie.
Oh. They
thought of you. And I'm like, great. So now I'm reminding her of animals she sees on the road.
Oh. I'm like, don't play with my heart. Exactly. Leave me alone. Why are you doing that?
That's right when I had to walk on stage and do 25 minutes of stand-up comedy for the first time.
How'd you do?
I did great.
There
I mean,
you
it was
go.
Fun. It was Go Bananas in Cincinnati is one of the best clubs in the country. And they bring in a really good crowd. So you go up there, you got to have fun.
Yeah.
But my goodness, I just sometimes those emotional things from the past hit. It makes you feel a certain way.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
That song that Tim just did that we played, he mentioned roofing. And if you've seen him live, do you remember his roofing bit?
Uh-uh.
Okay, I won't go into it. But if you've seen him live, he did it quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it was pretty strong. But just funny, the things he enjoys roofing and whatever.
It's like my dad in a pay lake joke. You know what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's absolutely, that's the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well, here's another one. And we actually got Tim in the recording studio for this one.
Bob and Tom Productions present the concert event of the season, starring America's hottest new entertainer. He bridges the gap between traditional country music and hip-hop with a style all his own. He's the first country rap superstar MC. He's Clem and M.
I'm in the house. I'm in the house. Now I'm in the outhouse. Nobody can top me. I can play the Apollo and the Grand Ole Opry. I got my posse and we're ready to roll. I got some chronic and a can of skull. I'm clamming in. I'm pumping up the jams, driving in my car. I love a thumping bass and a steel guitar. I can bust a rhyme just like P. Diddy, but I look a lot more like Conway Twitty. I'm clamming in. I love to rap and I love to sing. I wear a Stetson hat and a lot of bling bling. From coast to coast, they know who I am. I'm the country gangster, clamming in.
He's a little bit country. He's a little bit hip-hop. He's clamming in. Formerly comedian Tim Wilson, with his shiny gold chains and his dusty old cowboy boots, he's a regular hip-hop along Cassidy.
Yodelay hee-ho, yodelay hee-ho. Forget about Slim Shady, I'm the real Slim Whitman.
He's a country boy hanging out in the suburban jungle. His biatches are all hunting dogs, and his hoes, well, they're all backhoes powered by John Deere.
Come on, people, let's make some noise. All you players and good old boys, come to my show, you'll have a ball. I'm Clem and M. Peace out, y'all.
He's Clem and M, headlining his first U.S. concert tour with very special guests, Rappa, Flava Flav, and the Oak Ridge Boys. No one raises the roof like Clem and M. It's country, it's rap, it's crap. Catch Clem and M live in concert and sponsored by Wonder Bread and Colt 45 Malt Liquor. A Bob and Tom Show production.
Sponsored by Wonder Bread and Colt 45. Clem and M. That's real fun. Does that a guitar slide there remind you of Breaking Bad a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just one thing that needs to be said. Tim Wilson kind of nails it. Like, it was a fake premise.
Right.
But I think if he went into, like, some weird spoken word poetry, it would be pretty good, I think.
I think so. I think that it's strange for the pitch in his voice to change so much and how the accent, how a Southern accent works. And they say, like you can, by how, like, someone says pen, like, you can tell where they're from. Like, is it pen? Is it pin? Is it pan?
Pan.
Yeah, pan.
It's like and you milk.
Think of, Yeah, just like that. And it's like, how can he be so pitchy and yet so consistent? Mm-hmm. It's so wild. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like when it goes up like that, but it still doesn't sound like, oh, he just broke. It didn't break. Mm-hmm. Like that's a part of it.
No, he has a beautiful voice.
Yeah, listening to him talk is an experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just as in his speech pattern.
And you, I mean, you would never hear it, you know, and like he's not, it's not like a classically trained thing. It's so unique. It's just him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't describe it in any other way. It's Tim Wilson singing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Do you think Tim ever like saw something, like if he got with Bob and Tom, they're like, hey, we want to do this bit. He's like, I'm not going to do that. Or was he always up for whatever? Maybe he made some tweaks to help it along.
Well, I did kind of get the little backstory on this one. It was sort of an odd one because I think it originated with Marty, who did the little sort of the Real Girls announcer voice there. And then I think he kind of had the idea. And then I think it got to the shack with Tom and his group. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, Tim happened to be in town because they could have had anyone do that.
Yeah.
You know, any of what we have a bunch of singers that could have kind of faked their way through it. But Tim happened to be in town and like, oh, this is perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, at the time this came out, we all were kind of a little cringy. I believe it.
Yeah.
When it came out. But it like, and maybe with Tim's death. And we're a little more relaxed about it. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a fun little bit.
Yeah, I think Tim was very, I think he was open to contributing to the show in ways like this. That's Clem and M. I think that when it came from, like, when other people were trying to influence or change or make suggestions to something on his album, it was a yes or no. Like, it wasn't, there was no room to talk him into it. Either he was going to do it, he thought it was a great idea, or we are moving forward.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When was the first time he was on the show? Do you know what year that might have been?
Oh, man. I feel, if I were to take a stab in the dark here, I'm going to go 96.
Yeah, I would think late 90s.
I was thinking 7-ish. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's just a guess, but I don't know.
By the time I was coming in every day, so that's like 2002, I think, he was in here. He was a staple.
Yeah.
I mean, every couple of months, Tim comes, sometimes planned, sometimes not planned.
Right. Sometimes I get a knock at the door. Yeah.
Willie, I'm passing through to Peoria, and I thought I'd do a song for your daddy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get one of those going on.
And I'm glad you said that, because like the Don Jose that we played earlier, and even I Kill You, when he, and I don't want... Because I think Pat Godwin listens to the podcast. I don't want to...
He listens to Josh's podcast.
Well, okay. Well, he's not listening to anything right now. But he, you know, Pat, we have Pat in every day, and he does new stuff, and he's very prolific. Yeah. But when Tim was in and he did a new song, there was a different vibe of this is an event.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, this is an event. This is going to be something, who knows? You know, Haywood kind of had that as well during a time period of they were very prolific and their quality was so good.
Delivered every single time.
Yes.
Did
it
not miss.
Like every time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in fairness, like they would do a couple a year, whereas nowadays, you know, Pat's debuting a couple
every day.
Day.
Yeah. Every day. Yeah.
He's turning him out, so that turnover is pretty nuts. But yeah, I do remember kind of that special feeling. Hey, Tim's coming in today. Buckle up. What's he going to do for us?
And like, oh, this is a new one. And it's like the world stopped and it was like you were focused on it.
Yeah.
And I think they in the studio were the same way.
I agree. And I think that's the unfortunate part about us not having guests in studio anymore is that I remember that warm and fuzzy feeling or that buzz you would feel around the building when you knew someone that you loved or you admired or you had been dying to meet would come in here and be in here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, again, a part of the evolution of the show and the characters, that's just not how we do it anymore. Now we have a larger cast of people that we love and get along with and we switch in and out and do these things. But it is, I kind of get bummed because... you know, like when Warren comes through, I know we're gonna grab breakfast afterwards. I'm gonna get to catch up with him. He's gonna ask about my kids. Like he's one of my true friends. Same with Han. But it's just like getting somebody in here and having that experience is just it's just not the way we do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be back soon, I think.
I hope so.
Right?
I hope so. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
But in the meantime, we'll just have to settle for damn Han and Warren. both the greatest. So we got a couple more bits, actually. And here's a silly one from Tim Wilson.
She was eating lunch at a meeting three, and That's where she met me. She wrote her name on a napkin with her address and telephone. She had an ass that would not wait. I had the all-you-could-eat meatloaf plate, but wipe my mouth on that napkin. What a mistake, 'cause now her number's gone. I should have found something else to wipe it on, and her name is Jane Ketchup Stain. She lives on Mayonnaise Road. Her number was Heinz 574 something with the coleslaw area code. I don't know where she lives or who she is or what number to dial, but if I see her around town, I'll rewrite it all down on a dad-blame paper towel. And her name is Jane Ketchup Stain. She lives on Mayonnaise Road. Her number was Heinz 574 something with the coleslaw area code. I don't know who she is or where she lives or what number to dial, but if I see her around town, I'll rewrite it all down on a dad blame paper towel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just ripping my dad off there for the end of that one. Right. The double yeah. Oh,
that one felt funny. Like almost, I feel like Haywood could have done that song.
Mm-hmm.
Do you
mm-hmm.
think so, Alsman? It feels like it's just that, it's that silliness, you know?
Well, that, and every time I hear someone writing down on a napkin, I think of Sales. So it's like a Kenny Tarmac thing. Oh, like, oh, let's get this done.
Okay.
Shooter. But
yeah.
That's
Jane
so funny.
Ketchup Stain, got the ass that doesn't quit. So
that's so funny that when you think writing on a napkin, you go straight to Sales.
That's all I heard is like, oh, here comes that contract on a napkin. You'd always hear that.
Yeah.
I just think of like comedians that forgot to write before the show and they're just like, Facebook bit, lost weight, not too much bit, you know, just whatever it is.
The napkin really helps a lot of professions. It's exciting.
Yeah, writing things down on a napkin, it's not a great look. if you're in a rush, if you're at the bar at the airport, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you look to the person next to you and they're like writing stuff down on a napkin really crazily,
mm-hmm.
they look like they're writing a manifesto. Yes. It's never a good look writing.
What are you from, 2005?
You have to send someone a note or a carrier.
Will, do you put your bits? Obviously, I assume you have a ton of notes in your phone,
mm-hmm.
for comedy,
yep.
kind of thing. Okay.
Yep, in my phone, and then I have note cards, and I used to do notebooks. I'm doing note cards now because it looks better on stage, but then mm-hmm. I'm losing all of them. And then they're also out of order. So I like find a note card from a couple weeks ago, and it's just like, Molly, fat. Like, I was like, what are these? What's this order? Sorry, Jesse, did I cut you off there?
No, you're good. I was thinking about being at the airport with Tim. And, you know, Tim only traveled with his guitar case. And if luck would have it, he would have a clean shirt in his guitar case. If luck would not have it, we would just have a dirty shirt all weekend. But there are times that we would have three connections to get to a city that we were going to. Like, they just how it worked out that time.
No directs to Rapid City?
Yeah, things right. like yeah, that. Yeah. And so we would be on, sometimes we would be on planes that held like 10 people,
sure.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's two stories here, but the one was like, it was like a puddle jumper, you know, mm-hmm. and we're all on this plane and I don't fly well, And I was always throwing up, or I was recovering from throwing up. When we got off the plane, I was always throwing up. And one time, Tim just looks at me, he goes, Jesse, I don't think this is the job for you. And I was just like, just puking in a bag again. So we're on this plane, and there's a handful of times we've been on a plane where I've been scared, where I've been like, okay, this is game over, like yeah. sign of the cross, we're done here.
Sure.
And Tim goes, well, you know what, this is gonna suck for the rest of us if we go down, because Chick McGee is going to be the one that gets the headline. Chick McGee of the Bob and Tom Show and other comedians perished in this. Yeah.
I just have one joke on that real quick. Whenever I do something stupid, like I was out with friends and they're like, Willie, you got to get it together. If you get arrested, I can just imagine the headline now. Howard Stern's son gets arrested. And I'm like, shut up, David. Yeah. It's a fun bit. Okay, well, we've got one more bit here to play. Where this is a really special one. It's a lightning in a bottle moment on air with Tim Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, Strother Martin sings Led Zeppelin.
There
there's a lady who's sure that all that glitters is gold. And she's buying a stairwell to heaven. And when she gets there, she knows that if the stars are closed, with a word, she can get what she came for, or she's going to spend the night in the box.
Now, this can be a good song or a bad song.
We need to work on this.
It's entirely up to you.
Song or a mean zumbitch of a song.
What we have here is failure to communicate.
Well done.
Tim Wilson, A Little Stairway. Do you guys know the background of that bit? I do not. Was that just Chick?
Obviously, there was something leading up to that. Mm-hmm. And partly, I can tell just because of their reaction. You could tell they were talking something about Cool Hand Luke or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Tim probably started going off about Strother Martin. And then it just probably came together in this little, minute 11 piece. And to me, we've all heard them laugh at bits, but there's something different about the laughing on this one. Mm-hmm. Because you could tell, Tim was making up stuff right there, it seems like.
Right.
Was that him playing guitar, or was that Dino?
That was him.
That was him.
That was absolutely
and
him.
And he's up real high. And it's so funny. Yeah. I just love it. Mm-hmm. As soon as I hear it, it's like, how did he do that?
And I don't think that Tom loves anything more than an obscure impression.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's one of his favorite things. I think that checked out. Tim didn't do impressions outside of him and the guy that wore the lesbian golf hat, football coach. Those are the only two impressions that Timmy did. So yeah.
Bobby Bowden.
There you go.
Did Tim always wear the hat? Like if he's in the car with you, was the hat on going through the airport?
No, he usually had his hat off if we were traveling, but the minute he stepped out of the car, and he had he was balding, he had a comb over, when he would wipe his hair out of his, which this isn't Tim, but this is a hot thing I think guys do when they take off their hat and put their hair back and put their hat back on. I think that's cute.
What?
But yeah, I know. It's a weird, I know.
That's like a specific thing that you thought about before?
Yes.
Kind of
I'm telling
back,
you,
yeah.
Like, we are so complicated in our attraction, you idiots.
Cowboy hat or ball cap or anything?
Ball cap. Mine is specific to a ball cap. But, like, when he wasn't wearing his cowboy hat, that's what he would take his full thumb, like the point of his thumb and his pointer finger all the way on his forehead and then push all of his hair back. Mm-hmm. He barely had any hair to push back, but that's how he would do it. Like, it was a full hand thing. And it was just like the most masculine way you've ever seen somebody get their hair out of their face. But yeah.
Muscle memory.
Yeah, right?
Must have been doing it for decades.
Yeah. So, yeah. But the hat was always with, like, it was his guitar case and his hat. And those were the only two things that he really traveled with.
I feel like he would perform in the studio with his hat on.
Oh, yeah, he would. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, like, I realize in the moments that I saw him without his hat, it was pretty vulnerable moments, like 6 hours on the road and, these types of things, or walking through security. It was just like, oh, wow, that's weird. Like, you don't usually see him without his hat on. Mm-hmm. But like, I just remember like how his hair was and all of that stuff, because you just saw it so rarely. Yeah.
It's like that reminds me of the Haywood song about Bob's hat. When he took it off.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
It's an angelic moment.
Yes. It was like that.
And that's just the other funny thing about this show is that it happens so early. It's like, check local listings, but the show usually starts at 6. There was times in the past when it would start at 5 a.m.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there were certain comedians who, when they came in, it was still the full effect.
Yeah.
Tim Wilson always had the hat on. And the one time Ron White did show up in a robe.
That
was crazy. Yeah, he usually would wear the suit, but one time he showed up in the robe. And that was the same thing as the Tim thing. Willie, tell your dad I'm coming on. I got a show in Cincinnati, got bumped over.
Yeah.
And so, but certain people, they would come in, they'd always have the look no matter how early it was. And Tim was one of those guys.
And they were on stage. stage. I mean, this was the stage for the. It just happened to me at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. Do you guys know my Ron White story?
No.
Oh, well, we'll save it for another time.
We'll save it?
Yeah, we can save it.
I have a couple too.
Yeah, yeah. I could have been his third wife.
Yeah.
So close.
I am intrigued.
Yeah. What a great teaser. Well, we'll see you in another couple weeks. Please check out everything Tim Wilson. Give it a YouTube dive, wherever you stream music, check it out. Buy the records, buy his book.
Yeah, and just real quick, we had a lot of people ask about his documentary. That is just at media release right now. They're trying to plan out how they're going to release it and what it's going to look like. They're getting a little bit of feedback from the people that knew Tim the most. I kind of spoke prematurely, so I'm sorry. If you can't find it on the internet, it's because it's not available to you yet.
You were teasing.
I was teasing. But obviously, with the Bob and Tom Show, we're going to support Ari and Sophia. And as soon as it comes out, we will let you guys know.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for listening to Bits and Pieces. We'll see you next time.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.